Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz. Today we'll be learning the last Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Maseches Edyos and the first Mishnah in the fifth. So, Perek Dalid, the fourth chapter, Mishnah Yud Beis, tells us, Adam Shehu Nasun Tachas Hasdak. If there's a person under the gap of a ceiling, so let me give you the scenario here. You have an aksadra, which is a portico. It's a type of covering that's open on three sides, and there's a gap down the middle, so there's a split. It's as if it's two separate roofs. And as we'll see at the Bart Nura, there's something ritually impure under one half of the roof, and there are some utensils under the other half of the roof. Then if you put something where the gap is, it's like it closes it up. But it has to be something suspended and something hollow. It can't be just something laying on the floor. It would have to be something above the ground that there's an empty airspace. So if you do that, it would close the gap, and then the ritual impurity could transmit from the one side to the other, but otherwise not. So now let's say a person is lying on the floor under this gap. Beishamai omrim, Beishamai say, Enu mevi es hatuma. That would not cause the impurity to be able to jump, to transmit from one side of the roof to the other. Ubeis hilo omrim, but Beis hilo say, Adam chalol hu, a person is hollow. Vahatzad ha'elyon mevi es hatuma. So the upper side of the person, the one closest to the gap in the ceiling, that would in fact be considered closing the gap and allow the ritual impurity to be transmitted. Let's look in the Bart Nura, who will give us more explanation. Adam Jehu Nasun Tachas Hasdak, if a person is under this gap in the roof. Aksadrash in Izdaka Tikrasa Venechaka Lashtaim. So it's this portico whose roof is split and divided into two pieces. Vekelim Mitzadze, and there's utensils on one side, Vetuma Mitzadze, and there's something impure on the other side. Sha'avar Hasdak Mafsik Vegarim She'ein Hatuma Overis Otsad Hasheni. So because of that split in the roof, it ensures that the impurity isn't transmitted to the things that are under the other half of the roof. V'im adam nasun sham ba'aretz beritzpas haksadra keneged hasadak. But what if a person is placed on the floor under that gap in the roof of the portico? So then Beishamai omrim, enu mevi es hatuma. Beishamai say he does not cause the impurity to transmit to the other side. She'ein mevi es hatuma. Because the only thing that can bridge that gap and cause the tumah to transmit is something that has a hollow space of a hand's breadth. Ubeis hilo omrim adam chalol hu, but Beis hilo say a person is hollow. Va'af al pi shebenei me'av lasocho, even though his intestines and his other organs are inside of him, chalol shebetoch haguf chashuv chalol tefach. Nevertheless, his body is hollow, and the hollow space is considered an opening in him of a fist size. That is the end of the fourth chapter, and in the fifth chapter we are going to continue with areas in which Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stringent. So let's begin with Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shisha Dvar Mikulei Beis Shammai Umechumrei Beis Hillel. So he's got a list of six items that we didn't have in the previous chapter, where again Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stringent. Dam Nevelos, the blood of a Nevela, of the product of a botched Shechita, was not properly slaughtered. Beis Shammai Matarin, Beis Shammai say that it is ritually pure, or Beis Hillel Matamin, but Beis Hillel say it is impure. Beas HaNevela, the egg of a bird, that again there was a botched slaughter. Im Yesh Kiyosibanim Keres Beshuk, if eggs similar to it are sold in the marketplace, Muteres, then it is permitted. V'im Lav, but if not, Asura, then it is prohibited. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel Osrin, but Beis Hillel prohibit it in any event, that even if the egg is properly formed, it cannot be sold. So basically, if the egg is finished enough that it could be sellable, then it's considered finished even before the animal slaughter was messed up. But if the egg is not yet formed well enough to sell, then it's still considered formative, and it was still forming when the animal was improperly sacrificed. Umodim beas trefa shehi asura. And both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that if an egg is the product of an animal that was never going to be kosher, the sacrifice may have been fine, but there were inherent problems with the animal, then that egg is no good. Why? B'mnei shegedela b'isur, because it grew in a state of impermissibility. Dam Nachris, Vadam Tahara Shel Mitzaras, the blood of a non-Jewish woman, and the blood that is pure, meaning there's a period after a woman gives birth when all of her blood is considered pure. So the blood of a non-Jewish woman, or the pure blood of a woman with tzaras, it's normally transmitted leprosy, but it's actually something else. Beishamai Mataren, Beishamai say that these things are pure, ritually pure. Ubeishil Omrim Kiroka Ukumime Ragleha. They say that they are like their spit and their urine. And when we get to the Bartnura, we'll see exactly what the rule is with those things. Let us say it's a quasi state of impurity, or a rabbinic state of impurity. Ochlin Peres Shavias Batova Vashalobatova. The fruit of the sabbatical year of Shemitah is free for all. Whoever wants may just take it. So you can either thank the person whose field or orchard you're taking it from or not. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, but Beis Hillel say Ein Ochlin Batova. They say you may not thank the person whose field you're taking it from. Finally, Hachemis, we're talking about a leather bottle, sort of like a wineskin. Beishamai Omrim Tzrura Omedes. If it's pierced and therefore it's considered broken, it's no longer going to be susceptible to ritual impurity, but if it's resealed, then it's restored and it would again be considered whole and susceptible to impurity. Ubeishilo Omrim Afo Pisha Eno Tzrura. But Beishilo say that it would be considered fixed even if it's not resealed. So it's a state in which the bottle is usable, even though it's perhaps not as permanently fixed as in the case of Beis Shammai. All right, let us look at the Bartnura, and we'll get some more enlightenment on some of these areas. So first, Dam Nevelos Beis Shammai Mitaren, the blood of improperly slaughtered animals, Beis Shammai says, is ritually pure, legamre, completely, delo chashiv kenevela. It's not considered like the nevela at all. Bea Nevelos, what about the egg of a bird that was improperly slaughtered? Kegonchinis Navel Beshrita, Venim Tsuba Bea La'achar Shrita. So it's like the slaughtering was botched, and they found an egg in it after it was slaughtered. Im Kiyosebanim Keres Beshuk, if similar eggs can be sold in the marketplace, meaning Sheklipasa Kasha, because it's got a hard shell. Venigmeres, Kishar Beim Hanim Keres Beshuk. So it's considered complete, like other eggs that you might find in the marketplace. Ve'im lav, but if that's not the case, she'enu nigmeris, that it can't be sold because it's not yet completed. Asura, then it is prohibited. Dikabine me'eha hi chashuva, because it's like one of the bird's internal organs. So just like those are non-kosher, so would the egg be non-kosher. Dam nachris, the blood of a non-Jewish woman. Beishamai Mataren. Beishamai say that it's considered ritually pure. Dechsiv Parsha Zav, because regarding a Zav, someone who has a flow, it tells us, Dabru al B'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. B'nei Yisrael Matamin Beziva, V'ein HaNachrim Matamin Beziva. So we see that only Jews have a problem of impurity when it comes to bodily emissions, and not non-Jews. V'rabanan Gazru Alayhu, Shiyu Kizavim L'chol Devrehen. But rabbinically, they made a law that non-Jews should be considered like Zavim in all matters. Beishamai Savrei, Beishamai say, Ki Gazru Rabbanan, that when the rabbis made this rule, Eroka Umimei Ragleha Shehein Mitzuyin Tadir, then it was only said about saliva and about urine, which are commonly found. Obviously, you know, they did not have bathrooms like we had, so that would probably be more commonly found than nowadays. Aval dam haziva shein matzei kolkach lo gazru rabbanan. But emissions that are not so common, they did not bother making such a preventative measure regarding. Avdu rabbanan hikira, and the rabbis made a distinction between this institution and the ones that the Torah requires. Velo timu dam ziva shel nachris kadei sheyedu petumas hanachri derabbanan hi. And they did not make the blood of the non-Jewish woman impure, so that people should recognize that it's only a rabbinical restriction. Ki hechilolo sarfu ala truma v'kadshim, so that people shouldn't burn truma and sacrifices because of it. But Beis Hillel say karoka ukumimei ragleha. They say that a non-Jewish woman's blood is like her saliva and like her urine. Dam hanachris matame karoka ukumimei ragleha, so that her blood can make impure as her spit and urine do. Dahainu lach velo yavesh, namely only when it's wet and not when it's dry. Vezuha hakira bilvad asula, and that's the only difference that they made rabbinically when they made this rule. Shim haisa tuma midiraisa, because if it was a biblically mandated form of impurity, hayhadam etame lach v'yavesh, then the blood would make it impure both wet and dry. Achshav she ein metame el lach, now that it only causes impurity when it's wet, makirim de tumas derabanan hi, people will recognize that it's a rabbinic form of impurity, and again act accordingly. Vadam tahara shel metzaras, and the pure blood of a metzaras, of a woman who has tzaras. Dam tahar sharasa hametzaras sheyalda, it's the pure blood seen by a metzaras who gave birth. La'achar shiva lezachar, after 7 days for a boy, ufshuayim lenekeva, or after 2 weeks for a girl. So if you take food from somebody's field during the sabbatical year, you can either do so betova, with thanks. Sha'ochel machzik tova lebal haperus. So he thanks the person whose field it is that he's eating from his fruit. It's a nice thing to do. V'shelo betova, or you can do it without. You don't have to give thanks. She'enu machzik lo tova. He doesn't say a word to the guy. But v'shelo will say, ein ochlin betova, you're not allowed to give thanks. She'also lahachzik tova labalim, you're not allowed to thank the owners for it. Derachmana afkirinhu, because the Torah tells us that it's hefker, that it's free for whoever wants to take it. Hachemis, the leather bottle. Come in, nod sha'or, shenikav v'tsaro. So it's a leather bottle that got a hole in it, and it's been sealed up. So it's tsrur omedes. Based Shammai say, if it's been resealed, then it stands. Enu mekablotuma will not acquire impurity. Ela imkein hayet tsrura, unless it's been resealed. Klomar, this means to say, shahayisak shura v'nikmat ha'or, v'niskasha al hamakom hatzor. And it's been tied up, and it's resealed and hardened in the place where it was originally pierced. Achu omid me'alav, until it can hold liquids on its own again, u'machzik ma shemasim besocho. So it has to be as functional as it previously was without assistance in order to be considered repaired. But Basil say, afal pi she'eino tzrura, Basil say, even if it wasn't resealed, shelo nikmat ha'or me'alav, v'lo niskasha al hamakam hakashar. So it hasn't been resealed, it hasn't hardened in the place where it was pierced, ho v'kashro u'machzik, but nevertheless, since it's been tied up and it's being held shut, harize mekabel tuma. So even though it's still got the string tying the hole together, nevertheless, it's considered fixed, and it can once again receive impurity. All right, that is the end of Mishnah Aleph. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnah Yisbeis and Gimel.